Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
I want to talk about this decision in France, and that's to look at introducing a string of measures to try and make low-cost fast fashion, especially items from Chinese mass producers, much less attractive to buyers. And some of the key measures that they're talking about include a ban on advertising for the cheaper textiles and also an environmental charge on low cost items. So for anybody who's buying an awful lot of fast fashion on the online retailers, this potentially could affect you. It will if you're living in France. But we are asking today, should we follow suit? Pat Kane is a sustainability advocate. Pat's with us on the line today. Is it a good move, Pat? You can hear me okay, Pat. You can you? Have I got Pat there? No, we'll try and get Pat back perhaps in a moment. Jenna is with us on the line though from Galway. Jenna, is this decision in France the right one?
Hi, yeah. Well, I think it sounds like a good one on surface level anyway. But it just makes me question how it'll affect consumers who are already struggling with the cost of living crisis and that are buying clothes that are within a certain budget. But then again, it's low quality clothes that we don't really need a lot of. So, but it does sound like a good idea to at least address that there is big environmental impacts from fast fashion.
Yeah, so it's trying to get the balance right to make clothing that's more affordable to people, but at the same time, the environmental considerations.
Yes. And then I guess it could also bring up like the topic of overconsumption. Like, are we overbuying things? Are we being sold the idea that we need materials to be happy? So I guess maybe it would make us question, do I really need like 10 pairs of the same, say, pair of jeans? So I think it's a good idea.
Okay. Pat Kane, what about you? Is it the right move?
Hi, Andrea. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with the lady I was speaking there. You know, from a business point of view, we can see why fast fashion is good. You know, spending, consumer spending, profits and all of that. Positive, I guess, for the business, but also increase the need to conform, the pressure to conform, create body image concerns, not to mention, of course, ethical concerns around climate change, pesticide pollution and, of course, waste. So I'm on board.
Do you think we'll have something like this here, Pat?
I'd like to see that. Some experts are already saying that, you know, if they can do it, why can't we?
Pat, I'm just going to reconnect to you there. If just bear with us there for a moment. Is it something? Do you think perhaps Jenna, that we will see introduced here?
I don't know. well, we seem to just be a bit slow on things, or I guess it would be a big change, and it means probably less profits for a lot of companies, and profit kind of trumps everything. So it would be great, but to be kind of pessimistic and realistic, I don't know, or I don't know when it would happen, because stuff like this should already have happened like 30 years ago. So I don't know, but it would be great for something like that to happen and quickly.
Okay. Barbara Connolly is with me on the line. Barbara, do you think we should follow the French's lead on introducing these measures, a ban on advertising for cheaper quality textiles and an environmental charge as well?
Yeah, well, as a sustainable textile educator, and I have a business educating people about sustainability in textiles, in schools, in secondaries, in mainly transition years, I feel it's fantastic to see any news, and this is relatively good news, on an industry where it has such an impact, social and environmental impact. You know, we need policy, but we need policy that affects the whole industry. And for France to bring out something like this, it throws the spotlight on it, which is fantastic. But we need to hold all the companies and the ultra-fast companies at bay. Now, the point is, I've been reading up on this since your researcher rang me this morning, and most of the experts in the business end of fashion are saying that they actually really feel, and I would nearly look at this myself, that is it the French government trying to ring fence their industry, their fashion industry, now in Europe? So they have Zara, which is a Spanish company owned by Inditex, and you have H&M, which is a Swedish company. Are they trying to circle the wagons around the ultra fast fashion companies like Shein and Temu, which are the Chinese companies?
Okay.
So they produce 7,000, and that is the right number, every day, new product in China.
Are you suspicious about that, Pat?
I am.
Yeah, you are. You think, not to be too cynical about it, but you think that could be part of the move, is it?
I also think they're going to find it absolutely impossible to police this, because I've been in the fashion industry for 45 years internationally, and it is a very difficult industry to get a grip on, because there's so many different layers to it, so many different manufacturers. Somebody you're dealing with isn't necessarily the person who's making the product you want made. It's a ghost company, or it's a ghost factory, because they'll make it cheaper. So it's a very difficult industry to police. And I really feel that education is the way forward with this. I was in a class yesterday in Cavan, and when I talk to Transition Year students about the fact that an Empire State and a half a day is being disposed of in landfill or being incinerated, their eyes nearly pop out of their heads.
So it's the education around it.
Of our textiles that we throw into the charity shop or into a bin in a car park is going to landfill and to be incinerated. Because the charity shops can't sell cheap rubbish, let's call it. You know, let's call it what it is. It's falling apart. I had a show of hands yesterday in a classroom, and the students said, yes, I have been very disappointed by what I received from these companies. And they're being influenced. They openly say it to me. I'm being influenced by influencers. There's this girl I follow, and, you know, she's beautiful and she's got a lifestyle, and they're buying into that lifestyle. So it's about educating the consumer,
okay,
so that we become conscious consumers. So we know what we're doing. We know about polyester and the fact that it's so polluting.
Pat, are you still there? Have I got Pat? I don't think I've got Pat. We're trying to reconnect there with Pat Kane. Susan is with us, I think, as well, on the line. Susan, can you hear me all right? I've no Susan either, do I not?
Hello.
Hi, Susan. How are you? Do you shop online, Susan?
I do, and I do a bit of a mix. So I actually have a Shein order coming today, ironically, that I buy a few small bits from it that are kind of just extra bits I need. But my concern is, how are they going to police it? Because, I mean, one of the companies that I buy online from is B Corp certified. So they've got all their sustainability credentials. They've gone to a lot of trouble for it. So how are they going to, be looking into exactly where your parcels are coming from? And then are they going to have someone dedicated to look at the retailer on every single parcel coming into the country in France and going, well, this one's B Corp certified, so we don't have to charge extra on that one, but this one isn't? And it just seems like it hasn't been fully thought through in that regard.
But it wouldn't, like, I suppose if they were to just introduce some sort of an additional charge on imports from online retailers, particularly those from kind of the, you know, mass produced retail outlets.
But like the one I buy from, they're importing from the UK. Essentially, anytime I buy clothes from them, they're importing from the UK. So it would be an import. But I could also be getting H&M stuff from the UK sent over.
Yeah.
They're very, very different retailers in that regard, the two that I buy from. And I think as well, what the previous speaker was saying about education, I think it is up to consumers as well. So I buy some things from fast fashion brands, but some of them I've had for 2 or 3 years at this point. I wash them well, I reuse them.
Mm. So the quality isn't as bad as you might be led to believe.
Some items it's terrible, and that's always going to be the case. On others, it can be good. And I think as well, it's up to us as consumers, that are we consuming the fashion as fast fashion, or are we putting a bit of effort into, actually, do you know what, I don't have to throw it out just because I'm not going to wear it for 6 months because it's a winter item. I'll keep it, even though it is a piece from a fast fashion retailer. And I think there is a bit of education needed around that for consumers going, you don't have to throw it out. You can keep it, even if it comes from somewhere like that.
You would have to wonder, though, Barbara, would actually any introduction, you know, of an additional charge or a tax, whatever you want to call it, a green shopping tax, whatever we want to name the levy, you would wonder, would it actually even deter people, though?
Well, the threshold, seemingly, I read up online what the threshold is, and basically the government are putting forward that the threshold will be based on the number of new clothing items a business launches on a daily basis. So basically how many product styles they're launching on a daily basis. So how they're going to know that, I have no idea, because these companies can work the books as well as anybody else, I'm sure. I don't know how they're going to policy that. But, you know, did the sugar tax do any? Has that had any impact? Has that stopped people drinking sugary drinks?
Well, you'd wonder, if people wanted to, they'll still buy
money
it.
Put on cigarettes and on the booze, do people stop drinking? Do people stop smoking?
There is the point, Susan, though, as well, and a lot of our listeners are making this point today, and that's very simply, like, a lot of people are buying from fast fashion online retailers because of just cost restrictions.
Yeah. Oh, completely. Like, I buy from the particular brand that I buy from that's B Corp certified, but they're expensive, so they're a treat when I buy them, and I tend to try and get them when they're on sale and things like that. But for some kind of basic things like basic t-shirts and things like that, you don't want to be spending 15, 16 euro on a t-shirt. And sometimes it really is a case of I need to get something a bit cheaper because that's all my budget allows.
Yeah, that's exactly,
I think punishing people for not having the money to buy more expensive clothes isn't really the right way to educate people about not over consuming in that regard, because they're not going to be the target. And a lot of people I know who use Shein and ones like that aren't doing it, especially older people, kind of people in their 30s, they're not doing it for kind of a fast fashion thing. They're doing it because of budget.
Yeah, it's cost effective. Absolutely. Look, no question about it. Like, this listener says, this is yet another tax on poor people. The elite won't be happy until the population is back in rags. Another listener says, let people get the small wins and just stop taxing everything. We're taxed enough as it is. This texter, though, makes the point 100% a big tax on fast fashion, and do it immediately. And I just mention another one for the moment as well. Brilliant idea. Nobody needs to buy clothes from the likes of Shein and some of the other outlets using polluting technology and poor pay. The clothes they sell are often ridiculously cheap, cheaper than food. There's lots of cheap clothes options that are not a lot of the online fast fashion retailers. People buy there because it's so cheap, not out of need, suggests this listener. 087 1400 106. Keep them coming into us. Pat, Jenna, Barbara and Susan, thanks a million though for getting in touch with us here on Lunchtime Live today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.